This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. Or go home. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good morning on this Saturday, February 5th. It is a good day to hang out with us. Thanks for spending a little bit of your weekend with us over here on KBMW. The Giant Sports Show brought to you by Giant Seeds. And to start the show, we have, like always, head coach of the Wahpeton Huskies, Jeff Ralph, in. Coach, how you feeling this morning?
We're good.
It's radio. We got to talk.
We're good.
You came in with the bright yellow pullover on, and I'll tell you what, it really did make my day feel better. It brings, you know, sunlight in a day where it's overcast and snowing. It's, you know, a smiling face in the morning. Can't get better than that.
Well, there's a ninth grade game today, so It has to be cold, it has to be windy, and it has to snow every day that we have a game. So that's kind of what the expectation has become for us. And we play Tuesday against South, and school's 2 hours late. Coach Hendrickson took a picture of Davies High School as they drove south on 29 and sent it to Coach Manson because they couldn't play Cheyenne, which is a 15-minute drive across the interstate. But Cheyenne didn't have school, so they couldn't play. And they came down here and we played. And, you know, the weather's big. And that's kind of why, you know, I'm dragging today. We had a home game Tuesday night at Central on Thursday night. You know, the game got over quick. You know, I think I was in my house by 11:30 on Thursday night. But then we're back up and walking through junk defense for Fargo North. And you know what? The kids last night, as good as a game plan we've had, we're going to play a box and one or triangle and one, two, or diamond and one or whatever. And we tried that. And you know, you're going to get burned somehow, but I thought our kids did it perfectly. I thought they believed in the game plan with walking through in their jeans and their sweatpants at 10 after 8 on a Friday morning. And I thought they had the energy, the effort, the enthusiasm, and what it takes to compete in our league. And I think people that watch our game sometimes are questioning our energy, our effort, and our enthusiasm for this game. And I don't blame them. Sometimes I am too. But I think you saw last night from this team against a very good Fargo North team. I mean, they put guys on the floor that can do some things. Mm-hmm. And our kids responded every time. I know it was a 15-point game, but I think everyone would tell you it was an 8-point game for the most part. It was just a matter of us. Could we make a run and hold them on a run? And with the defense we played in that game, unfortunately, you know, they were 13 of 28 from three. And that was what we gave up. You know, Jeremiah Sem has been scoring, I think, averages about 23 a game. And Carter Zeller averages about 18, and we held them. Sem had 15, and Carter Zeller had 12. And, you know, I think we did our job there. But then they bring this Carson Hannestead, who we knew could shoot. They bring him off the bench. He hits 5 of 9 threes for 15 points. And then the Sagvold kid had 16. He was 4 of 7. So there's two kids that go 9 for 16 from the three-point line. They were open. He should make them.
Yeah.
And they did. But I thought our kids really executed our game plan very well. And the other thing, for us, it comes down to scoring the basketball. And we did that last night. Caden Hockert led us with 21. He was 5 of 14. From three, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Ethan Manock had the game that we've been hoping to see from him. And the piece that's missing is that attacking the basket and taking the hit and scoring. And he had just one monster dunk in the game where the Sem kid came to stop him, and he scored and made the free throw. And, you know, that's a big play. And a play where now we're going to play better defense after it, too. And he had 18 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, just a great game from Ethan. And our expectation for him, that's what we need every night from Ethan. And he played great last night. Jackson Cluton, you know what? This kid, he had at Central, I thought he gave us good energy, played good in the South game, and last night, you know what, 16 points from Jackson Clouten.
But the thing is, for me, like, shout out to Jackson Clouten for having 16 points. I need to see something consistently when it comes to scoring the basketball.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Because, you know, I was looking at it today, Coach, between Kappas and Schaefer and Hockett, we got three guards, and only Hockert is scoring double figures in multiple games here. I love it that Clouten had a good game, but how can we get him to continue to have good games?
Well, you know, Andrew, that's why they pay me all that money to coach, because I got to get them to do that. And, you know, it's sometimes a matter of matchups and, you know, whatever. But you know, I'm the first guy to tell you that Caden Kappas has played great all year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would I love for him to score 12 points or 16? Well, of course. But he's doing his job, and that's a piece that he'll get better at and has gotten better at. But Jackson Clouten, you know, when he brings the energy he brought to the game last night, and, you know, he people think he's a traditional back-to-the-basket guy, and he struggles a little bit with that, but on the move, he's pretty good, and that's where he was last night. A couple nice passes and lay-in, had a nice tip-in in the second half that kept a run going for us where we had really a good shot and missed it, and then he came and finished it, and that's something that we're missing. We're missing that energy, and, you know, we miss a shot and our shoulders slump and we jog back, and, well, how about we miss a shot and then somebody tip it in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and credit to Jackson Clouten, you know, for that last night. We needed that energy from him. He was 8 of 11 from the field. I mean,
and that caught my attention too, because no free throws.
No free throws. He didn't get fouled. He scored the basketball.
That's good.
And that's what we need from, you know what? And then 7 rebounds to go with it. If you're a high school post player, 16 points, 7 rebounds, when you're probably not the most recognized player and the most acclaimed player on your team,
mm-hmm.
we'll take that every night. And Jackson played great. Kappas had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, solid with the basketball again. Blake Schaefer had 4 points. Had 6 assists last night. You know, just a nice game for Blake. We were really happy with his minutes. He's been struggling a little bit, and he really had a good night for us. You know, all in all, you know, moral victories for losers. I'm not about moral victories, but I'm about playing well,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what I thought we did last night. And even with that being said, we shore up a couple turnovers. You know, we had a hard time with their press, some bad coaching. We didn't get in the right press breaker a couple times, and we fixed that. Well, then the press is off. You know, the kids made the adjustments and did what they had to do. And when we do that, you know, if we see them again, we're kind of lining up. They might be one of our opponents for a playoff game. And you know what? If we shore some things up, take care of the turnovers, Fargo North is a team I feel really good about.
It's hard to beat a good team 3 times.
That's true.
It's hard to beat a good team 3 times. But I was going to ask you if you've noticed this too. Watching you guys play, there's teams that do the press, and then once you break it a couple times, they immediately come off. Have you noticed that too? That they don't stick with it for an entire 4 quarters or whatever, 2 halves?
Well, I don't think you can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you wear out your guys, number one. You know, we press off and on. We our full court trap against Central on Thursday night was pretty good, but you know, you're wearing out your guys playing the full court. But yeah, you're not going to see that. Davies will do that. They'll pick up, and Cheyenne will do that because they rotate guys. West Fargo, I don't know how they do it with 7 guys, but they press full court. You know, they beat Davies last night. So, but we don't. That's not our thing. We need to break it and score, though. And I thought the kids did a great job last night once we were in the right press breaker of finishing at the end, getting the ball in the middle, and then we have Ethan and Clutie finishing it at the end, or Jaden King or Jacob DeVries or somebody, you know, one of our bigger guys in the back. So that's really what we needed last night, and they did a nice job.
Now, we started this conversation with playing 3 games in 5 nights. Do we have a lot more of those on the schedule?
Well, no. I mean, yeah. The Thursday night game was a reschedule from way back on January 3rd. You know, we tried to play that. We got stormed out Tuesday, and we moved it to Saturday. And then it was really sunny that day, so we couldn't go. And then, you know, so it got moved where it got moved. And I wanted it on the front side. I didn't want it on the back side of North. You know, we wanted to make sure we had our energy, but it looked like we had more energy Friday night than we did Thursday night. So, you know, coming up now, we're just two games a week. We go Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, and we're done. So, you know, play-in game. We're going to have a play-in game. We're not going to move up to five. So we're going to be in a play-in game on that Saturday. I don't know what it is, February 24th or something, whatever that. Well, what's the date today?
Today's the 5th.
So 12, 19, February 26th.
There we go.
Sometime that Saturday afternoon, we'll be in a play-in game.
I'm going to be the sunny ray of hope here with the you know, the silver lining. I think that the scoring is picking up. Talk about Cluden scoring 16. I don't think it's impossible to see a play-in game win. I think a lot of people around here have been kind of down the dumps a little bit, but I'm going to be the optimist and say, yeah, I think that the scoring, I mean, it takes one win to get in the play-in game, then you're in the tournament, and anything can happen once you're in there.
You know, the whole thing, you know, last year we were the 4 seed. We lose that game. I mean, you play the whole season. It doesn't matter what your seed is. You play to get a home game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately that doesn't matter either. You still got to win. You know, so we're the 4 seed. We lose. We beat Red River, who we had to beat 3 times. The last time we played, or the second time we played them, was a 91-90 game.
No defense.
And, well, we could score the ball, so we didn't have to guard anybody. But you know, and then they come in and have about an 8-point lead with 4 minutes to go, and we go off and win that game. And then you got a chance. You know, we're playing West Fargo in a game that we felt pretty good about. You know, a week before that, West Fargo was about an 8-point game or 9-point game, and we felt good about it. And then, you know, West Fargo obviously didn't because they took it to us pretty good. But, you know, ultimately we're playing on Saturday to go to the state tournament against the team that wins the state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? You just got to get in, and that's all we want. Your seed doesn't matter. How many games you win doesn't matter. It matters that you get in and give yourself a chance.
I think that's a good way to end this, Coach. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to me. We'll see you later this week.
Thank you.
More great, more of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break. You're listening to 1450 KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
We're talking meteorology with the head coach of the NDSCS Wildcats, Coach Stu. Long time no see. I've missed you coming in on Saturday mornings. I know we're a little bit early for you after some of these late night games, but it's nice to see your smiling face today.
I'm happy to be here, Andrew. Good to be with you.
We were talking, if it gets colder, it doesn't snow as much. I agree. Coach Stu agrees, but the meteorologists, they don't agree. It's a wives' tale, I've heard.
That's what they say, but the eye test tells me differently.
Well, I'll say the eye test for your Wildcats has been really good this year. One loss on the season, and you got guys that can score the basketball.
We have a lot of balance. We have a lot of bases cover. We have really good guard play. Our bigs are doing a nice job. They're a good group of guys. They share the ball. Came off an impressive road swing. You know, when you play 4 games in a row on the road and you do it in 6 days, you know, and I heard you just talk with Ralph about how tough it is to beat a team 3 times. Well, we went into that Dawson game, and this is a team that has 4 losses on the year, a team that's won our region the last 2 years, a team that has a 34-game home winning streak, and we had to play them the 4th game on the road in 6 days and knocked them off by 2 to break that winning streak. It was just really a great testament to this group to be able to do that in that type of environment and that kind of travel.
I've talked to Turner Bloffus because he's covered the Wildcats a little bit longer than I have, and I keep coming up with the same thing. Is this one of the better teams that he's covered? And he never can really give me a solid answer. He keeps snaking around saying, like, oh, you know, this team was really good. And this coach, this is the first time I've gotten to kind of see the Wildcats. This is the first time I've gotten to watch a science school season. This feels like a really good team.
This is a really good team, but if you look at the history of NDSCS athletics, there's a lot of really good teams in there.
And how do you separate this one from those?
I don't.
No?
I don't. You know, we went to the national tournament in 16 and had a huge win in a district championship game at Indian Hills. predominantly, you know, probably a top five team in the country almost year in and year out. And but that team had seven losses, mm-hmm. but they won the big, big game on the road. The very next year, we had one regular season loss, then lost in that district game again at home at the buzzer to Indian Hills and ended the season 31-2. Well, how do you differentiate? One won the big game when they needed to, the other one didn't, but one had just a tremendous season at 31-2 and then lost out in the at-large bid by one spot to go to the national tournament. So this team's, you know, along those lines right now. They have a chance, but still five games to go, and playoffs is just so, so important.
That's true. I mean, you can't get too far ahead of ourselves. You're right about that, Coach. Let's talk about some of your guard play, because every day I open up the box score and I'm kind of just impressed by it, because it's not a top-heavy team. It's not like one guy's putting up 30 points and everybody else is kind of just chipping in their 5-6 points. You have legit dudes who can score 20 points a night for you every night.
We do, and you know, we talked before the show about Kahari Broadway, Jaquan Sanders-Smith, and Micah Swowell. But, you know, Rashawn Parker and Logan Jebwabny can knock down either one of those guys can knock down five threes on any given night. And Logan's had some big games for us, showed up at Dawson, knocked down some key shots. So we have a lot of kids that can score the ball. Connor Hollenbeck's coming off an ankle sprain, but he's had some big nights and a couple, you know, 13 rebounds a game nights for us. So a number of kids contributing. We only have 10 guys right now, and they all play.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you went out recruiting some of these guys, did you think, like, okay, I know that guy can put the ball in the hoop, I know that guy can put the ball in the hoop, and you built your team like that? Tell me about the recruiting, because I'm always interested in that.
You know what? We try to bring in, you know, 17, 18 players. We scholarship in some capacity. Some of them are small scholarships, 15, and then it's just a matter of coaching them hard, and hopefully you retain as many as you possibly can and work it all out. If I could magically tell you that it's exact science, and when you go out and see a kid, you flat out know that he can play or can't play, you know, sometimes you do. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a young coach, I saw Rafe LaFrenz play as an eighth grader at Monona High School in Iowa, and I don't know if you remember that name.
The name rings a bell,
yeah.
He played
for the Kansas Jayhawks and then Boston Celtics. He's an NBA player for a while, but you instantly knew at that point in time, wow, this guy's in eighth grade, and he's breaking the press at 6'9" as their center. You know, he was a special, special player. But at the same time, I saw Steph Curry play his senior year in Charlotte, North Carolina in the All-Star game, and I really couldn't believe that he was going Division I. You know, so you can always tell. And if you could, Steph Curry wouldn't have been – there's 18 Division I institutions in the state of North Dakota. I don't think Davison's the top of that list. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even the best coaches don't always get it right. You know, there's things you look for, but at the same time, you're open that any walking into your door can have a major impact. You know, a great example of that is right from Wahpeton right here, Tommy Nelson. You know, Tommy Nelson, we offered a very small scholarship as a local guy who I thought would be great to be in the program. And then, you know, a couple of weeks into the fall, you're like, you know, he's got a chance. And then by the time the season started, he's a starter for us. You know, he's supposed to be that 11-15 guy, but just a tough nut and a great fit, a super defender, just could guard 1-5, and with some other athletes around him, he's just that right fit to mold in with them. And so, yeah, sometimes you just never know.
See, sometimes if you're going to miss, it's better to miss on a Tommy than to miss on somebody like Steph Curry, I guess.
Well, yeah, and don't miss on somebody you loaded a bunch of scholarship money into.
Ah, there you go.
Know, we work with a lot of partials and, you know, some fulls, but but, you know, we just have a certain purse, and we need to gauge that to our talent base. And, you know, obviously character and academics fit within that too. But that's a tough thing sometimes.
Talk to me a little bit about the road trip that you guys were just on. We talked about
It was a six-night, four-game. So what's happened is there's been a lot of debates on how we should put together our conference schedule. And the conference schedule is put together by our conference commissioner out of Minot, Jeff Risk. And, you know, we've played everybody twice. And for student attendance, the games have been traditionally Monday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're traveling from Wahpeton, a lot of the teams are, you know, towards the west a little bit, and then Montana. Some of those are tough trips. So we tried to make the argument, let's hit two of them at once. But to do that and put together the whole schedule, there's always some things that get interrupted that you don't consider, you don't think about. So he finally put together what they called a hybrid schedule. So some of us outlying teams can get two games knocked out in one trip.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was. We're playing the two Montana schools back-to-back, and then Williston and Botineau. But our those two trips ended up being somewhat close together, all right? And then we started gauging coming back off the bus. Well, we played Wednesday at Williston, Thursday at Botineau, and if we left Botineau and came home, it would be approximately 3 a.m., and then you'd leave the very next day, Saturday, all right, to go out and play a Sunday afternoon game in Miles, Montana. So, you know, we actually saved $1,000 by staying on the road. We missed an extra day of school being Friday, but, you know, what's the value of classes when you're getting home at 3:30 and just getting those classes probably wiped versus being able to maybe tune into some of those classes virtually mm-hmm. on the road at the hotel. I mean, we had a study day virtually the whole day on Friday on the road, and we were well-rested. And in an era of COVID and the flu season, I think probably is a better decision health-wise as well.
See, in stories like that, Coach, they just get my hair on my arms standing up because I just get so excited when it's like, oh, we're going on a road trip. Oh, we had a whole day. I don't know. Something about that. The games on the court are fun. The stories behind the scenes are just as fun to me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it was a long one. it was the longest one I've ever been on. But you know what? I mean, every single opponent what was out west was knocked out on that trip. So it was mm-hmm. a one-time deal. And, you know, we left for that trip on January 9th. We had not missed a day of class since like November 10th.
Mm.
So there was two good months there that we never missed a class. We just happened to miss, you know, four straight days here on this trip.
This sounds like when I was talking to my parents about missing class. I was like, you know, I made it class all through the fall semester, Mom. I missed this one class. I felt good.
Right.
But, okay, let's talk about the second half of the season and going into the tournament. You feel good about these next five games, Coach?
No, not okay. necessarily. I think sometimes we had so much focus on the road, and we knew those were going to be tough environments. I mean, especially capping it off at Dawson, they won 34 straight games at home. I mean, you know your guys are going to be jacked, and they're going to be ready to play. I think sometimes upsets happen at home. You come back home, you feel a little comfortable. You beat Lake Region on a neutral site. You beat them at their place where we're really focused, and you come back home after a big road trip like that. I think sometimes that's where you're a little worn down. That's where upsets can happen. So I never feel that comfortable. And wasn't Baylor number one in the country and lost back-to-back home games here a few weeks back? I mean, I think sometimes we take our home court for granted, and it's nice not to travel. It's nice to be in class and not miss classes, but I guess I don't feel any better of the last three. What do we got? The last three of five being at home than being on the road.
How do you feel about home court advantage? How's the turnout been, even with, like, you know, COVID and precautionary stuff? Have you had a good home court these past couple years?
Well, we get good crowds. We don't get great crowds. Mm-hmm. You know, our student attendance is okay. They got to walk over the facility a little bit. Our cat backers are locals. You know, it's a combination of a little bit of everything, and it's good, and we appreciate it all. But at our level, you know, not too many people are just filling the stands.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably a little less home court than there is at maybe some other levels when you walk in the facility and there's 5,000 people there. But nonetheless, it is what it is, and we appreciate the people that come out. You know, the Blickery Activity Center and the Edward Arena, I mean, we got such a large facility. I mean, it's great. It's a tremendous recruiting tool, and but you get 1,000 people in there, and they spread themselves out, and you know it doesn't always look that impressive. Versus if you go to some place like Bismarck, where there's five rows of bleachers, and it looks like they're packing the house. So you know, it's a different type of environment. Sometimes I think bringing those student section bleachers down, those portable on the east mm-hmm. ends helped a little bit. You see, when we host high school games and the Breck WAP crossovers, students love being down there, and our kids and a lot of times our football kids love being down in those seats too. So that's added a little bit of intimacy to the home court and the arena. But yeah.
Coach, it's been fun talking to you. We got to make sure this doesn't happen every 4 months.
Happy to come back.
Coach Stu from the NDSCS Wildcats. We'll be back with more of the Giant Sports Show on KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giants Sports Show on this Saturday, February 5th. Sitting in with me right now is the Wahpeton Lady Huskies head coach, Brian Watson, with a big smile on his face. Came in here with a flash, man. I've never seen somebody move so quickly getting into a studio.
It's because I was running a little bit behind.
Yeah, he's excited to talk about his Lady Huskies. Coach, 3 games in 5 days. We talked to head coach Jeff Ralph earlier in the show about kind of the struggles with that. Not the struggles, but when you have high school kids, you got to have them playing high energy, high tempo, a couple days or a bunch of games in a couple days. It gets to wear some guys down. How did the girls play last night?
We played fairly well last night, I guess. We played a really good first half, but we are kind of getting into, that point in the season where it starts to drag on. We've got some young girls who are, playing high school basketball for the first time, and, this is the point where their season is typically over. They don't play a long season in junior high, and now it's starting to become a grind where they really have to work and try and work hard to finish. And sometimes it can be tough for a young team. But right now, I feel like we're playing in spurts or in parts better basketball than we did earlier in the season. And for us, that's what's going to take for us to kind of win some games here down the stretch and put ourselves in a pretty good position.
Of all 4 of the teams in the Twin Towns, Breckenridge, Cowboys, Cowgirls, Huskies, and the Lady Huskies, I feel the best about the Lady Huskies. And I don't know what it is, and I put a lot of it on Scout Woods, because I just think that when I watch her play basketball, I just feel like, as the season's continued, she continues to get better. She's one of those athletes that every game I feel like she picks up 1 or 2 things and gets better at them.
I always feel good about the Lady Huskies, I guess. Scout's one of those players for us who is a young player, so I think the reason why you always see something different from her or see her progress is that she is young. She's just a freshman, and I think as the season goes on here, she's starting to pick things up and become a better basketball player. But fortunately enough for us, we have quite a few girls who can get it done on the offensive end for us, and I think that's kind of been the key to us putting a lot of points on the board. We've had multiple girls lead us in scoring for first time in a long time. Nearly every game we've got 3 girls in double figures, sometimes 4. And then if we don't, we have a couple girls right there at 8 or 9. And it just, allows us to put some points on the board. Now, the thing that we need to work on is defense. We struggle at times. We've scored over 70 points 5 times this year. We've lost 4 of those games. So we've just got to be able to fix some things on the defensive end. If we can do that, coming here late in crunch time here, we might find ourselves in a really good spot.
Can we talk about Thursday against Fargo South? That was a 70-point game, 73-72 loss to the Bruins. And that one, I was keeping up with it kind of on my phone. I had it going, the score updates. What a talk, the swings back and forth, and then to go into overtime. You didn't get the result that you wanted, but you had to feel good about your team coming back.
Well, we didn't start very well.
Right.
It was kind of a tale of 2 halves and then kind of, half of halves within the game. We were down, I think, 22-6 or something like that to start the game, and just couldn't get things going offensively. Defensively, we were just kind of out there, allowing them, 29 points in the first half is okay, not great. But for whatever reason, we got off to a slow start, and we just couldn't put the ball in the basket. We had some turnovers that led to easy baskets for them. But credit to the girls, they kind of put their nose to the grindstone and made a nice comeback, and we were ahead by 2 at half. After being down 22-6, we were ahead 31-29 at halftime. So going in the locker room, I was pleased to be able to at least come back and take the lead. But that slow start really, in the grand scheme of things, hurt us. You know, as far as the end result of the game, you know, we come back at halftime. We stretched our lead from 2 to 13 a couple times, and then we went through one of those, you know, spots again where we couldn't score over a long period of time. And then if you're going to do that, and then they cut the lead, and then they're able to tie it in regulation. And we had some chances at the end of regulation. We missed a front end late, and then we missed a layup. I can't remember if the layup was in regulation or in overtime, but we had opportunities to close out that game. And we even had a shot at the buzzer that hit the back of the rim, and if it bounces right, that thing bounces in. We just got a bad bounce. And, you know, if we don't start the game 22-6, then we win that game.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can't look at the end of the game and go, well, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. It really was the start of the game that cost us. So we just have to figure out how to come out to good starts and not let teams, you know, jump out on us. We've had that happen several times, and we're not always able to close that gap and come back.
It's hard to get players to play defense, I find. It's a lot more fun to score the basketball than play defense. How do you go about practice and say, hey, girls, we need to figure out how to stop some teams. We need to get the defense going.
Well, I mean, if I had the answer to that, the right way to do it, I guess we wouldn't give up 41 points to one player.
Hey, look, man, I'm just asking the questions.
I mean, it's a part of basketball. We work on defense every day. We work on the fundamentals of defense, the skills of defense, the things that we feel like we need to give the girls in order to be successful. But it's a mindset when it comes to game time. You have to want to play defense. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on through the course of the game. We can't simulate a true varsity game in practice. So the speed's different. So, you know, we can go through these things in practice and they look successful. But once we get on the floor, the speed's totally different. You know, your position is a little bit different. And fatigue sets in, too. So there's a lot that goes into it. And you just have to work at it as a player. And it's not the glory of the game. The glory of the game is scoring. But there are several players who get it done on the defensive end. We just need, you know, the whole team to get it done. And it's not an individual effort. It's a team effort. If someone gets beat, then there has to be someone there to help. So there's lots of pieces. You can't just look at one player and say, oh, she plays terrible defense or whatever. There should be someone there to help her too as well. So it's a team defense concept, and we've just got to improve at it.
You talked about giving up 41 points. Look, Addie, what's her last name? Miller?
Addie Wagner.
She had a good game against us earlier this season. I asked, hey, is Addie Wagner going to be the type of player that's going to continue to burn teams? And she has. She's burnt, I think, every team in the EDC. So I don't look at that and say, well, I can't believe they gave up 41, because she is a bucket. She's a walking scoring machine.
Well, I mean, especially when she gets in the mindset where she's just going to score, which is what happened at the end of the game. And that's one of my fears when we play them, is that something's going to click in her head and she's going to say, okay, you just give me the ball and I'm going to go score like Steph Curry. And that's kind of what happened. But the problem is that, you know, we can afford, if you really want to say that, we can afford to give up the 41 to her. But, you know, we gave up 14 to two other players.
Yeah.
You know, and one of those was on a three-pointer where Addie gave up the ball late in crunch time where they needed a bucket. You know, it was like, you know, Jordan to Kerr and wide open. And she knocks it down, and that tied the game. So, you know, it is what it is. You got to try and manage her and do what you can. But she's the best player in the EDC, best scorer in the EDC. One of the best scorers that I've ever seen in this game. And I've coached a really good scorer. But we have to be able to contain some of those other girls. You know, we played Central, and Reardon went off for 31 or 29, but we didn't let anybody else hurt us. You know, earlier in the year, Wagner had 26 or something like that, but then they also had another player with 20. So we've got to be able to contain those role players and not let them, you know, go off for multiple points. They average 4 or 5, and then they end up going for 31 like that happened against Cheyenne. You know, it's just a thing that we have to become better at. We have to not give up second chance opportunities, because when we do that, sometimes that'll lead to a wide open three. So again, it's just kind of team defense that we have to work on. It's all those hard parts of the game. You know, the Rodman parts of the game that people kind of shy away from. We have to just do a better job of it.
Now, how is it looking for getting a top 4 seed versus play-in? Where are we at with that?
Well, I mean, until we lost the South, we were in a decent position mm-hmm. to maybe bubble up to five. Now, we lose the South, that makes it really tough. We'd have to win out to bubble up to five. It's going to be a tough go, but we have the ability to do it. But in reality, we can finish anywhere right now, depending on what happens these last five games, between five and eight.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe even nine if things really go bad. But we own some tiebreakers that will help us out. We own tiebreak over North now. We own tiebreak over Devil's Lake. So any ties, any head-to-head ties with those, we'll bubble up one spot. So five games left. Four of those are at home. And we've got a big one on Tuesday against Red River. If we can we can make that thing work, that would give us a huge boost, and one that some teams around us probably won't get.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the Lady Huskies. This is one of my favorite teams to cover this season, and in large part because of head coach Brian Watson. Coach, thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
You bet.
Eat a muffin.
I'm gonna have a muffin.
More great stuff coming up after the break on the Giant Sports Show, presented by Giant Seeds.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Welcome back to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW 1450, the Voice of the Valley. The Giant Sports Show brought to you by Giant Seeds, the only seeds that I see, only seeds I eat. That's for a fact. Breckenridge Cowboys, they lost yesterday to Holly, 55-34. They play Thief River Falls later this afternoon, so they got a little bit of a drive on their way. Cowboys have been up and down this season, and I'll say this. I try to get the coaches to come in for Breckenridge, and they always seem to have a game on Saturday or practice on Saturday, so I apologize to the listeners of Breckenridge who want to hear their head coaches come in and talk to us. It always seems like there's a scheduling conflict. The Cowgirls lost to Wheaton yesterday, 49-42, so a close one. They go up to Pelican Rapids today in that contest. And again, both of those teams kind of looking to get the wins going. They play in a section that is a QRF, so if they win some games against some of these higher sectioned opponents, they move up higher in the rankings. If they lose some games to higher sectioned opponents, it doesn't hurt as bad. Very confusing. I continue to say this, that Minnesota has some of the most confusing ways to do their stats across the board. I've been to a bunch of different states to do a bunch of different high school athletics. Minnesota, one of the more confusing ones by far. And it goes into last week we didn't have a Giant Sports Show. I was judging a speech and debate tournament in Fergus Falls for Breckenridge. And Minnesota is kind of weird there too, kind of quirky the way they do their rankings over there. You got to rank them 1 to 5, and then everybody after 5 is just a 5, and then you got to give them points out of 100. I felt like I was doing my taxes. It was just a lot. It was a lot that was going on over there. I also want to bring this up because it's never too early to kind of put this out there. March 26th is the baseball banquet. Is that right? Yeah. Again, March 26th is the baseball banquet. We're going to start kind of talking about that now because it's the beginning of February. But boy, oh boy, I've already talked to some of the baseball coaches and track coaches too. Already starting. They're doing a lot of the indoor practices right now for baseball in gymnasiums. And I, as a person who played high school baseball, I never loved it. As a pitcher, was not a big fan of doing indoor baseball. Now, granted, the times I did indoor baseball, it wasn't 26 degrees below zero outside, so it made it a little bit nicer, I think, when it's just rainy out. But I don't know how you kind of set up for indoor baseball, because you can do the wiffle balls off the wall. You can, you know, maybe take some cuts, throw a little short toss, but you can't do long toss. I need like 150 feet, 180 feet to really, you know, get a crow hop going. Get it in from center field to catcher's mitt. Like, you know, that's how I practice. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they figured it out up here. They're kind of cracking the code, trying to get these kids going. And from what I've been told, baseball team looks pretty good this year. They played pretty good last year, and I think they're going to have a shot this year of making some moves. It's going to be exciting stuff, and we'll, of course, have some of those games for you on KBMW and on B92.7, our sister station. Twins baseball, if they can finally get that lockout figured out. Baseball owners and players got together this past week and had a little bit of a conversation about, hey, do you want to play baseball? Well, I'd love to play baseball. Do you want to play baseball? Well, we'd love to play baseball. Well, let's have a deal. So we're still trying to figure it out. Baseball is still trying to figure out if they're going to have a season or not. I'm all in on trying to have a baseball season. This is the first year. Of course, this is the first year. This is the first year that I am trying to get a fantasy baseball team together. I got a bunch of jocks, a bunch of guys that barely could set their lineups for fantasy football, but they all work in tech sales and just different marketing places. And of course, the people who are in charge of, you know, our financial institutions have a lot of dead time on their hands. So they're trying to figure out a baseball scoring system. So of course they come to me and they say, Zimmel, can you come up with a fantasy baseball league for us? And I said, great, yeah, I'll come up with one for you. So I set it up kind of like, you know, you'd set up a fantasy football league, a home runs 4 points, singles 1 point, very rudimentary stuff. Can't get it too confusing for these knuckleheads. But of course, the 1 year that I'd say, like, hey, let's have a fantasy fantasy baseball league, we're going to have a lockout. We might not get a season. So we'll see. We'll see what can conspire and what can come together. Other big news out of this area, Minnesota decided not to hire Jim Harbaugh out of Michigan, which was a big deal for me because we can't have nice things in Vikingdom. I just don't. I get it. And at the same time, I don't. Jim Harbaugh took the San Francisco 49ers to a Super Bowl, took them to three NFC championship games. He's a proven winner. But, you know, if a guy comes into your office and just assumes that he's going to get the job, well, sometimes a new GM doesn't like that. And I get it. I understand that. So right now, the leader in the clubhouse for the Vikings to hire as a new head coach, Kevin O'Connell out of L.A., the head or the offense coordinator for the Rams. So now my question is, if the Rams don't put up 35 points and 400 total yards in the Super Bowl against the Bengals, are we going to like that guy anymore? Like, is the Super Bowl this guy's tryout? Because I've seen this happen a couple times in the past where the Super Bowl is an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator's tryout, and say they have a really good Super Bowl, and all of a sudden the entire fan base of that new place really loves it. We're excited. And then sometimes they have a bad Super Bowl and we're not as excited. The last 17, 18 weeks don't matter as much because in the big game, they couldn't get the job done. Like, look at Nick Foles. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, was one of the best players, won Super Bowl MVP within 2 years. What is this, his third team in 3 years? It's Super Bowl's a weird proposition, and we won't get a chance to talk about it next week, so I'm going to give you my pick right now. It's going to be the Bengals. Got to run with Joey B. And I think any fan up here that's not a Packers fan or a Bears fan or a Broncos fan or a Chiefs fan, because I've met a bunch of those for some reason, but if you're a Vikings fan, I think you got to put all of your eggs in the Cincinnati Bengals basket because it's a short-term win for long-term headache, but we want Cincinnati out of our boat. The boat is miserable fan bases. It's us. It's the Buffalo Bills. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. We're all in this. And the Jacksonville Jaguars just got a life raft and jumped on our boat, too. We're just a miserable fan base all together. And we need Cincinnati to get off because it's kind of weighing the rest of us down. They got Joey B. They got Ja'Marr Chase. I'm rooting for Cincinnati because I want that fan base. And like, think about this. What does Cincinnati have? When you think of Cincinnati, I think of chili on spaghetti. It's pretty low. We got to get them something. Give them something so that they have more than just Skyline Chili as their calling card. That's a tough look for Ohio, just sports in general. Hopefully Cincinnati can get the title and continue to move forward. That's going to do it for us over here on the Giants Sports Show. You can listen to KBMW 1450 every weekday morning for Dablo in the morning. He'll put a smile on your face and a cup of coffee in your hand. And of course, I get you from 10 to 2 weekdays. But listen later this afternoon from 4 to 8. I'll have some of your favorite country hits. More great music coming up right now. Warm you up on this cold day. What is it outside? 7 degrees. It got above zero. All right. Warm you up on this cold Saturday morning when the sun goes down. Kane Chesney on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.